We've been on this verse the past couple weeks, and we've just been talking about our life for the Lord, our work for the Lord, what we're doing here at the Creek, why we're doing Take It Personally, and why we have Grow Teams, and why we have VBS, and why we seek to reach out to the Potter's House, and why do we do these things, and, you know, serving the Lord, and trying to seeking to make a difference in our life. Why do we have a prayer life, and why do we do the things that we do? And sometimes as we're doing those things for the Lord, we can grow weary. We can grow weary, we can grow faint-hearted, and oftentimes think that what we're doing is in vain. But I'm here to tell you by the authority of God's Word, nothing done for the Lord is in vain. And we have the authority of God's Word that we know that anything we do for Him, it counts. And it counts for God and His glory, and that's what matters. Let's read there just in our text, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. It says this, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." Remember, the waters signifies an unlikely place, a wasted place, useless, fruitless. But it says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." And we see the precept and the promise, and how much of an encouragement that is. And then we talked about from the Gospels last week, how that we do give unto the Lord, and that He does repay, and He repays well. Not necessarily always monetarily speaking, but the Lord does always fill us with spiritual blessings as we honor Him. And tonight I want us to go over again. I'm going to look at a different verse that is a sister or parallel verse to this, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. And that you will find over in the book of Psalms. Psalm 126, verses 1 through 6. Go over there with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 126, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 126, verses 1 through 6, says this, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And we see specifically here in verse 5 and 6 as a parallel truth of the importance of sowing for the Lord, and that which is promised when we do so for the Lord, and want to bring out some truths here. Now, the context of this is the captivity of the children of Israel. They have been set free. We know when they were in captivity, the Babylonian captivity, there was great rejoicing when they got news of being set free, and the great rejoicing and laughter that took place through that, and allowing them going back to their homeland. And there will be another day of rejoicing when there will be total freedom given to the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, that the Lord, Jesus Himself, the Messiah, will give unto them. But there's most definitely application in here, even for the New Testament church. And I'm not going to try to preach a whole message to you tonight, but I would like to encourage you with a couple parallel truths that I think will encourage us in this matter of our life for the Lord and our work for the Lord and what we're doing to seek to make an eternal difference. That our work is not in vain. That we don't come to church on Wednesday nights just to warm a pew and just to check off a list or to coat our conscience to make us feel good that, boy, we went to church, the midweek service. No, that if we've done that, it's just best just to stay at home. No, we come to church on Wednesday nights, and anytime we come to church to worship the Lord God Almighty. We come to give glory to Him, reverence unto Him. We come to gather around His Word. We come to enter into the secret place, to enter the holiest of holies, and to pray together and to make intercession and to make an eternal difference in our church and in our community. And I'm here to say, looking at Psalm 126, I see some truths here that truly are an encouragement. There in verse 1, we see again, of course, the captivity that was there of Zion. And then when it was time to be free, the term there, we were like them that dream. Oh my, what a message that could be just right there. It was almost unreal. You know the old phrase, boy, this is just too good to be true. Too good to be true. Can we really be set free? And boy, I want to tell you what. You know what the truth of the matter is? That same thing is true for every born-again believer who realizes what they've been set free from. I mean, that's just, boy, you get to meditating upon what God has brought us from by the precious blood of Christ. I want to tell you, it almost seems like it's too good to be true. And boy, what joy that will bring. And that is a picture here of them being set free. And but boy, I tell you, that same truth applies for even those that have been saved, that have been set free from a sin that has kept someone in bondage. A besetting sin that God has given great victory over. There is great freedom. And what does it say here in verse 2? As a result of being set free from that captivity, there was laughter and singing. And even the heathen took note. This crowd has been truly blessed by God Almighty. There's been some great things that have happened here. And by the way, can I only tell you something you all know already, but let it be an encouragement to us. Anytime there's been a great move of God upon God's people, the heathen take note. They realize it. God is doing something supernatural in that church, in that town, in that city. It's been obvious, even to lost people, the difference that it makes in the lives of people that have been born again. And I want to tell you, boy, when we get a life surrendered to God, it does make a difference. It makes a big difference. But we see here that even the heathen noticed, and then look at verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, the streams in the south. Almost like, Lord, do it again. Lord, do it again. This bondage that we've been set free from, there, even though there's been some freedom given, there was still some captivity. And by the way, that again, I don't have time to preach and elaborate on this, but there's some application for us too, dear church. There are some things that we need to still be set free from. Is there not? I'm speaking to a church that I know that there is some captivity in your heart. I know that. You know how I know that? You say, well, did I tell you? No. Did God tell you? No. Because I have it too. Because we have human hearts. And we have sinful hearts that are always seeking to rebel against the Almighty and put up our fists and say, God, you can have everything but this. And you know what our prayer needs to be? The prayer of these dear folks. Oh God, turn us again. Set us free from this bondage that we're in of lukewarmness. Oh God, set us free. Rekindle the fire for serving you and loving you and loving the brethren. Oh my, turn again our captivity. And it says here, O Lord, as the streams in the south, that's in reference to streams that truly dried up and were nothing but cracks in the desert sand for so many months until the rains came. And boy, I can remember being out in the Sahara Desert. We would go in these riverbeds and you could walk in them. And boy, it just these huge crevices of lines going, weaving in and out the desert floor. And it was just dried up. Not even a bit of evidence of any amount of moisture around that place. Dried up! But boy, even the rains came in, even the Sahara Desert, those beds, you wouldn't be able to stand in them or you'd drown. the floods of water that would come down those riverbanks in the rainy season of downpours, and boy, the flooding that would come through that. And boy, those Africans in the Sahara Desert, you would think they had won the lottery out there and playing on the banks of those rivers, and those kids in the water jumping. And boy, that's a picture here that he's longing for. He's longing for, oh God, let, as the rivers of living water, let them flow fresh again. And folks, by the way, that's revival, is it not? This passage of Scripture is simply revival. It's saying, oh God, you've turned us, you've brought us, you've delivered us from the bondage of sin. Lord, would you do even more? Would you let it be fresh to us again? Would you let it flow like it did at one time? And I'm praying that it would here. Hey, listen, let's reflect. We don't have much time tonight, but just for a moment, reflect upon even what God has done in this church in the past 30 years. In the past 50 years, when there have been pockets of revival, when God's Spirit has come upon this church, and people have surrendered to the call of God, and people have gotten right, and young people and older people have gotten saved. Just a work of Almighty God. Listen, don't forget about those. We don't live on those things, but we do remember those things. God can do it again, can He not? And God will, if we faint not, because that's where the next part of the verse comes in. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You notice that there's two words there that are all important to that promise. It doesn't just say, they that sow shall reap in joy. It says, those that sow in tears. And I believe that if we're going to see a work of God in our life, it's not just going to be by just us complacently sowing. I think it's going to be a sowing with tears. Sowing with tears. Sowing in our prayer life. Sowing over, just being broken. And as the Word of God says here, as we sow in tears, as what that simply means as we're praying, we pray in tears. We win people to Christ in tears. We're broken over that. I like what Spurgeon said about this idea of sowing in tears. He said, winners of souls are first weepers of souls. That really challenged me. Winners of souls, people that win people to Christ, are first weepers of souls. We have shed tears over them. And I'm asking God to help my heart to be broken in these days that we serve. I don't want to serve in the flesh. I want to be broken before God and ask God to do a work of revival in us. I want to hear our young people praying, being broken, caring about the things, the eternal things that God wants to do in our church. You know, we see here that we realize that these things that God wants us to have, and listen, we need to sow in tears, but we need to know we shall reap in joy. We shall exactly do that, that God might get the glory. You know, there has to be some tears of compassion before there can be tears of celebration. I'm a big sports fan, and I like watching sporting events, and man, it's exciting, especially when your team is the one that is reaping the benefits of working hard, and man, and you know, without fail, especially if it's a world championship, like a big time game, world championship game, just or in the Olympics, man, these guys that have just given everything all year long, years upon years of training. Without fail, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, you will see when they cross that finish line and they have finished first, and even those that have finished second and third, whatever, but in the Olympics. But that team that wins, man, without a doubt, when they get interviewed, ESPN comes up with the mic or NBC or whoever is coming up to interview them, man, they're just, what are they doing? They're weeping. They have tears. Some of them can't even hardly talk. It's just like they can't even get their voice because they're weeping. And what is that? What is that? That's tears of celebration. But I want to tell you, those tears of celebration did not come without some tears of sowing and hard work. putting the axe to the grind, I'm telling you what, and just trying to make sure that they're doing their best to do something for the Lord, to make an eternal difference. And that's my prayer for us tonight as we continue forward for the Lord, that we will simply understand in our work for the Lord, we're going to sow in tears. We are. There are going to be some brokenness. There are going to be times where we're down and we don't feel like going on anymore. You know, I think about our grow teams. We're doing great. O team is up this Saturday, and I'm excited about that. And we're doing well. But I could just see the devil wanting to. I could just see him wanting to hinder us in this and to get us down about this. But just remember, folks, let's claim this promise even tonight in our prayers. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this great truth. Thank you for, Lord God, that we can know. We can know that as we sow the seed of the gospel, Lord, as we seek to make a difference in the lives of others, we shall reap if we faint not. Lord, I feel that in many ways in my life there have been times where I felt like my work was in vain, that my labor was in vain. But Lord, you have proved me wrong so many times that it's never in vain. It always counts for something. And for that, Lord, I want to say thank you. And would you help our church, would you help us, Lord, as a church, to know that what we're doing for you, Lord, and your glory is not in vain. Help us to be strengthened by your Spirit, Lord. Help us to be broken. Help us to weep for souls. Help us to weep for each other. Help us, Lord, to be very serious about the things of eternity. And Lord, we'll be very grateful and thankful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this time I'm going to ask Christina to come up. And I've told her to just take, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes just to express and kind of inform us of what the Lord's called her to do for the next year and bring us up to date. And then when Christina finishes giving a testimony, I'm going to have Brother Mike and David and John and Daniel. Are you going to be in here? Okay, I'll have you come up. And we'll have Timothy here. Timothy, have it come up. We'll have a couple of you guys pray and for her as she gets ready to go. But right now, would you just come up, Christina, and just give us a short testimony of what the Lord's called you to do?
Okay. So while everybody else is getting off school for the summer, I'm about to be starting school for the summer. I'm going to be doing language school in about 2 weeks.
Amen.
Tomorrow morning I will be leaving for Taiwan. It's been a long journey from the last time I was in Taiwan to going back. And I remember one of the very first Sundays being back here, the verse being preached, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." And that was exactly what I needed at that time, because God, in my second year in Taiwan, God put on my heart to go to be in Taiwan long term. And then in my third year in Taiwan, God said, "Go back to the U.S. And he did not give me a time frame. He just said, "Go back." And being back in the U.S., not knowing if I would get to go back or when I would get to go back, was hard. But God gave me this verse, and he also gave me the chapter of Isaiah 55. And in Isaiah 55, it talks about how, let me find the verse. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace."
Amen.
God has given me a burden for Taiwan. Straighten my thoughts. this passage, this whole chapter, has a lot of meanings to me. God gave it to me at a difficult time when I needed it most, but he did not stop his promise when he gave it to me. He is continuing the promise. And what you talked about this evening, in Taiwan, all the Taiwanese people are very good people, and that's why they don't see their need for Jesus. Yes, they believe he's a God. They don't believe he's the God, and they don't see their need for him. So it is a lot of long labor, tears, patience, talking with somebody, fearing for their eternity because they're a good person. They believe what you say is true, but they don't need it for themselves. So after language school, I will be teaching kids again, and I'll be teaching in a new area, and I'll be working with a lot more kids that are from Aboriginal families. And in Aboriginal families, they have a form of religion, but it's not correct. And also, in a lot of Aboriginal families, fathers will often get drunk and they will beat their children, and there's a lot of family issues, especially for Aboriginals. Jesus says, "Let the children come to me," and a lot of the ministry that God has burdened me for in Taiwan is for the children of Taiwan. So a few of the prayer points. When I'm a week from today, I will be having my interview for seeing where I will be in language school. So I will be having my interview in Chinese. So we can pray that I would get into the class that would most help my Chinese to improve that. Also, while I'm in Taipei, there are quite a few churches in Taipei, so pray that God would lead me to the right church. And also, pray that God would give me an opportunity to minister to all my classmates and to other people in Taipei. A lot of my classmates will probably not be Americans. They'll probably be Japanese or Filipino. So it's a different group of people that I have not yet worked with. So pray for God to give wisdom on how to minister to them. And then once I finish language school and I'm teaching, we need, for our missions group, we need at least 5 more teachers. So pray that God provides the teachers that we need. And also pray that I would find a church because I'm going to a brand new area. We've never had a team there before. Pray that I would find the right church and that I would be able to do ministry with them. And pray that God would open up doors for ministry in that area. And I'm praying that God would allow me to have a Bible club like he did before. And those are my prayer requests for it. That's basically it.